Being a chef means keeping your cool in the kitchen. It's up, it's up. And with Resi Priority Notify and Global Dining Access through my Amex Platinum card,
right this way,
it's nice to try someone else's food for a change. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Welcome to Fantasy Football Weekly, a production of iHeartRadio.
Time now for Fantasy Football Weekly from iHeartRadio, your weekly source for the nation's best fantasy football advice, speculation, and whatever stupid stuff they decide to drop into the show. Now here's your host, Paul Charchian.
It's another edition of Fantasy Football Weekly. I am Paul Charchian, co-host this week, Brian Johnson. It's been a while.
It has. I am back.
It's good to see you. Kind of back. You don't have you 100%.
No, I'm not going to lie. I feel like my head's going to explode from allergies.
We've had a bad allergy season here in Minnesota. I don't know. Is that global warming? Is that allergies? I don't know.
Probably.
It's a lot of stuff.
It's just the fall of Western civilization. It's tall. I don't want to be a Debbie Downer by any means. But yeah, I'm not feeling great, but I'm here. I'm excited to be back.
Good, and we're happy to have you back.
Let's talk some fantasy football.
Yeah, let's do it. The next two shows are dedicated to off-season winners and losers because now with the draft behind us, free agency behind us, we can pretty fairly evaluate which guys just through all the off-season machinations ended up in a better spot than expected and guys that ended up in worse.
Well, and to clarify, we're really talking about guys who are on their existing team. Like, we're not going to talk about... All these players are on the same team they played for last year, and based on the offseason moves and the draft, are they a winner or a loser based on the outcomes?
Some of the times, and this is a perfect example, is going to be the first two. Some of the times it's guys who took a big swing, and other times it's just a gentle adjustment. We're going to do winners this week and losers next week because winners come before losers.
Yeah.
As a side note, before we get into our offseason winners, Brian, Guillotine Leagues, the site expected to launch in about a little over a week or so, I would guess. So we're getting very close, ironing out our final details and getting ready for the 2022 Guillotine League season. We encourage you to stay tuned for that.
Maybe a very, very special surprise. Quite possibly.
Yes. There's going to be some fun stuff in there.
Sure, we'll break it down on the next
probably
edition.
Probably in excruciating detail. Yeah. Yes. There's going to be an edition of Chop Podcast without you, by the way, on Monday. I'm having on JJ Zachariasen to talk about how he went 2-0 in his two Guillotine Leagues last year. He won them both. That ain't luck. And one of them was an experts league. So it was very impressive.
I should be offended, but I won't get mad about getting bumped for JJ's.
Yeah, and you're not so much great getting bumped. He's a great guest. And we're not bumping you.
For the show. I know.
I'm making you not have to come over here.
I appreciate it.
All right, let's into my kitchen, which is where we record these off-season shows.
Where are the cookies, by the way?
My wife's gone.
You go. I'm surprised the house isn't on fire.
I know, right? quarterbacks are the first order of business. And I mentioned the first two quarterbacks. This first guy took a big swing to the positive as his team does basically everything possible to make good on the draft position of Tua Tagovailoa.
Yeah, he is certainly a winner, despite getting continually dragged on social media. It seems like the latest episode, the underthrow video to a wide receiver, we'll mention in a minute. But yeah, Tua definitely a big offseason winner, mainly because of the trade for Tyreek Hill.
Yeah.
You don't have to bomb it to Tyreek Hill. You could give him a little 2-yard shovel pass.
Just let him go.
Kill.
Yeah.
We'll take it to the house. So, yeah, it's a big boon for Tua, who, of course, he'll have Jalen Waddle going to his second year. Dolphins also signed Cedric Wilson from Dallas. They did lose Devontae Parker. I'd say Parker's still more talented than Wilson, but Wilson's more reliable in terms of staying healthy. Mm. Devontae Parker always seems to be getting injured. They maintain Mike Gesicki,
yep.
Tight end, who's
yep.
really a more so a wide receiver. Then a tight end. They signed Chase Edmonds, who's a great pass-catching running back, presumably going to be their starting running back. So the offense, way better in Miami. They also signed left tackle Teron Armstead coming over from New Orleans.
That's a big gain
right
there.
Pro Football Focus has him ranked as the fifth best left tackle since the 2018 season. So that's not to his blind side because he's a lefty.
Yeah,
the left tackle,
we'll
but still,
take it.
It's a massive upgrade for the offensive line and an upgraded head coach, at least from an offensive perspective, with Mike McDaniel, the offensive coordinator, coming over from San Francisco under the tutelage of Kyle Shanahan, offensive mastermind, according to most. So, yeah, Tua Tagovailoa, QB 17 right now, but there's certainly a top 12 upside with Tua.
Currently round 10 and top 10 to be, he'd have to take a serious jump to get into top 10. I think, I'll give out the current ADP for all of these guys. But when we talk about them, Brian, I didn't this time, but I will. I think we're going to almost always say this guy's being underdrafted because we think these are all winners of the offseason. And in many cases, more so than is being reflected in the ADP. Okay, next. I mentioned a gentle winner. I think that's Kirk Cousins because people in Minnesota will know this is, or if you follow me on Twitter, this will not come as a shock that I'm a Cousins supporter that I believe has been held down by a Mike Zimmer offense and all of the necessities to run all the time and everything else. Never used play action. This is going to be a potentially far better season for Cousins, even though there was no significant change in personnel outside of an upgraded guard and the return to health of tight end Irv Smith. But
and Adam Thielen, you can say
Thielen missing the last
portion.
Third of the season.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep.
He's banged up.
You know, if with Kevin O'Connell there, I think you're going to get an uptick in just opportunities for Cousin. And you're going to throw a lot more, period. And also probably much more effectively because they just haven't had strong offensive minds and passing orientations with this team really since Kevin Stefanski left. Over the past 4 years, has any quarterback in fantasy football been as underdrafted and has overperformed as much as Kirk Cousins, who every year goes off, it finishes at like quarterback 12 and appears on cheat sheets at quarterback 20. Current ADP, I should mention, QB 15. So I think there is a little bit of love out there for Kirk Cousins.
For sure.
Next up, Jalen Hurts, currently quarterback 11, going off the board in round 6.
Yeah, his ADP has certainly started to rise since the trade for A.J. Brown, and that's the major improvement for that Eagles offense. Outside of Devontae Smith, who was a rookie last year, these are the guys Hurts has been throwing to at wide receiver over the last two seasons. Jalen Reagor, Greg Ward, Quez Watkins, Travis Fulgham, John Hightower, J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, and Deontay Burnett. Gross.
Yeah.
But now you got A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith.
See, if you can't draft a good wide receiver, maybe you should just go buy one that you already know is good.
Yeah, and I think that was a great, great deal for Philly. And I also love Dallas Goedert this year. We talked about him a couple months ago.
Yep.
But to recap quickly, he didn't see a ton of targets last year, but Zach Ertz was in tow. Goedert was banged up a little bit. But Goedert averaged 2.2 points per target in PPR leagues, which is insane. Second in yards per reception among tight ends at 15. First in yards per route run, led all tight ends and completed air yards per target at 6.4. So I love the weapons in the pass game. Hurts, obviously a threat on the ground as well. The protection up front is great. The Eagles O-line was ranked fourth overall by Pro Football Focus last year in 2021. So I'm not saying it's going to happen, but There's a chance Jalen Hurts is your top scoring fantasy football quarterback this
he's
year.
He's got it in
if all the cards fall the right way for him.
And it's all about passing. I mean, his passing has not been up to NFL levels to this point. But if it comes together in year three and he can put together 4,200 passing yards and 32 touchdowns through the air and add in his rushing, that's how you get to quarterback one overall, which could happen. The next quarterback is maybe the biggest offseason winner of all quarterbacks, and it's Derek Carr. Currently going off the board at quarterback 16 with a round 9 average draft position. Last year, Derek Carr put up 4,800 yards with Hunter Renfrow as his only reliable receiver.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Jalen Ruggs went away for reasons we don't have to discuss.
Darren Waller missed almost the whole season. You know, and obviously gaining Devontae Adams, a gigantic move for them. But let's not forget, they also added competence for depth at wide receiver, Brian. DeMarcus Robinson, Keelan Cole, not guys that are going to change, you know, change games, but guys who are just competent, which they didn't even have. They had no competent depth at the receiver position. So if these guys need to come on the field when they're four wide, or if they need to fill in a handful of spot starts, at least the whole offense isn't at a massive downgrade like we had seen in the past with the Raiders depth chart. So if Carr can repeat last year's 4,800 yards with far better wide receivers, let's just say he repeats 4,800 yards, Brian. And if you think Waller is good for 10 touchdowns, and if you think Adams is good for 14 touchdowns, That puts him at more touchdowns than he had last year, Derek Carr, by themselves. That puts him at 24 touchdowns right there.
Yeah. And he's cracking 30 without a doubt.
Right.
I mean, he's going to push 40.
He'll sit well over 30 at that point. I love Derek Carr. I'm accumulating him everywhere I can now before everybody catches up to this. He's quietly been a very good quarterback the last couple of years, given what's been around him. And now he gets all the benefits of a totally new, what should be improved coaching staff.
Yeah, Josh McDaniels, offensive-minded head coach.
Yep. So very, very high. And Derek Carr is one of my favorite offseason winners.
Should we talk running backs?
Or
should we go to a break?
Let's do running backs and then we'll take our break.
How's all right. That sound? Sounds good.
Maybe we'll just put it right in the middle. We'll find out. We begin with James Conner. Brian, current ADP is running back 20 going off the board in round 4. He was... and a rather unexpected fantasy stalwart last year.
Pretty much a league winner. 18 total touchdowns last season. And that's with Chase Edmonds taking 159 touches out of that backfield. As we just talked about earlier, Chase Edmonds has taken his talents to Miami, kind of like LeBron James did. But Edmonds is not the LeBron James of running backs by any means. But yeah, Connor going way too late. Whether it's RB20, I've seen him go as high as RB15. He's a borderline first round pick. There should be. Here is running back finishes in half point PPR during the weeks that Edmonds missed last year. RB1, RB16, RB8, RB11, RB2, and RB3 finishes for James Conner without Chase Edmonds. And there is no Chase Edmonds yet again.
And they didn't replace him with anybody that looks like a threat to Conner.
No, not really. Eno Benjamin is still around. He flashed in one or two games when Conner was hurt. They drafted Keontae Ingram in the 6th round. He's got a nice skill set, but there's not enough draft equity there to really concern you. So, yeah, James Conner, I mean,
he should be the opposite guy. Yeah. You know, if you've gone wide receiver, tight end, wide receiver, and now it's round 4, James Conner.
He's going to be creeping up. His ADP will be creeping up as we get into the summer.
I think what very reasonably gives people pause on Connor, he's not special. He's not a special talent. It's all opportunity here because Kyler Murray does not run the ball from inside the 5-yard line. It's all touchdown dependent. I mean, there are some worries here compared to other elite running backs. You could just go, well, you know, I can see the talent in you know, pick a guy, Dalvin Cook. I mean, obviously uber talented player. James Conner is a pedestrian NFL starting running back. It's all opportunity.
And a better pass catcher than most realize. He's a good pass catching back. And it's worth noting DeAndre Hopkins is going to miss the first 6 games of the season. They did trade for Marquise Brown, of course, but there's probably going to be a few more targets to go around out of that backfield.
Christian Kirk gone as well.
Yep.
Yep. The second running back that is an offseason winner, Saquon Barkley, currently going off the board at running back 14. That's round 3. It's reasons for optimism. It's its second year off his ACL, which is great. Giants brought in no competition unless you count Matt Breida. Matt Breida was with new head coach Brian Daboll last year, and Daboll barely used him then. Daboll's going to be pretty good, I think, as a head coach. If you, you know, the Bills offense was obviously super dynamic, and they, Brian Daboll wrenched every ounce of fantasy output out of that offense he possibly could have, which I love. And Daboll targeted running backs 91 times last year with passes. Barkley's a better pass catcher than anybody they had last year. Singletary's got average hands. Zach Moss, below average hands. Now, Saquon Barkley is a far better receiver, and he's the only guy who can really catch in that backfield. So you figure if Daboll's going to spread around 91 passes to this backfield, Barkley might have 80 of those targets.
Oh, yeah. We've seen him almost, we saw him get targeted 20 times in a game practically a few years ago with Eli Manning. Mm-hmm. But yeah, oh, yeah, he's it's going to be a big bounce back year for Barkley. I'm with you there.
I think most people feel that way. His also, I'll note here, improvements to New York's offensive line. The first round tackle, Evan Neal. They brought in guard Mark Glowinski and then guard center hybrid John Feliciano. So there's a lot of improvements for that Giants offensive line as well. And it's why a lot of people, particularly in PPR, are very, very optimistic about Saquon Barkley, another winner for this offseason.
And a massive downgrade on defense, losing corner James Bradberry due to the ineptitude of Dave Gettleman.
So cap management.
Lots of coming from behind for the Giants this year. Point chasing, garbage time, gloriness. That's not a word. I'm blaming that on the allergy meds.
Let's go to Miles Sanders, currently going off the board at running back 27, round six.
Yeah, that's way too late. He did have zero touchdowns last year. That's what everyone's really focusing on, I think. But that's just an outlier to me. When healthy, Sanders played more snaps inside the five, 15 of them, than Boston Scott and Kenneth Gainwell and Jordan Howard combined. So it was just bizarre he didn't get in the end zone. Jalen Hurts, of course, vultured some opportunities near the goal line as well. But I think Sanders bounces back this year. He's in a contract year, which some view as a bad thing, but I like the fact he's in a contract year because they might just run him into the ground.
Sometimes teams do that, like
DeMarco Murray's last year in Dallas.
That was the classic example of that.
Most famous example. And so, yeah, I mean, Philly didn't draft any big-name running back or any running back for that matter, as far as I know. I do like Kenneth Gainwell, but he still feels like more of the change of pace back. Might get more opportunities if Sanders gets hurt. Boston Scott is back. Scored seven touchdowns last year.
How does a little tiny Boston Scott score seven and Miles Sanders gets none?
So that's not happening this year. If anyone's scoring seven touchdowns, it's going to be Miles Sanders, who, as you said, is running back 26 right now, an insane value. And another guy we'll probably see creep up, his ADP creep up as we get into the summer, into drafts.
Yeah, you and I may be looking at slightly different places for our ADP, so you may hear slight variations in. I had 27, you had 26, but that's people get enough. The gist of it. Here's a guy who is not, I don't, wouldn't, this is a very, I think, very slight winner. J.K. Dobbins, Baltimore running back, currently running back 18, going off the board late fourth round. The Ravens must feel pretty good about him returning because between him and Gus Edwards, the team did not add any material help at the position. At this time last year, Dobbins was a second round ADP. He's had the full year to come back from the ACL. And really, I mean, he only has to hold off Gus Edwards to some degree. We know it'll be a 1-2 split, a 1-2 punch. Mm-hmm. Mike Davis, totally not a factor here. And both guys, to me, at a heavy discount. Gus Edwards going off the board in the 17th round right now. Huge blunder
for a guy
with a career average of almost five and a half yards per carry.
I think it's because his name sounds like he's like 34 years old. But I think he's only like 24 or 25.
Yeah, it's like his third year. Yeah.
Gus is an old sounding name.
Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll talk about the wide receiver winners from the offseason when we return to Fantasy Football Weekly.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing.
I'm so glad you made it.
and travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel, it's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
This is Amy Brown from Four Things with Amy Brown. Today, healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations with Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between offering quality care and support virtually, in person, and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways that healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Welcome back. Segment number two, Fantasy Football Weekly. Paul Charchi and Brian Johnson with you. We're going through our offseason winners. Next week, we'll do the losers. That'll be a much more somber affair.
Yeah. And we already started making the list. There are a lot of running back losers. We could do a whole show just on
running back losers.
Yeah, a whole season.
Let's go to the wide receivers. Let's start with generically, broadly, all the Broncos wideouts.
Yeah, I'm not going to like really get too into the weeds with this one. Maybe but not
I'm
so much.
I'm going to challenge you at the end of this to give me the guy you would take first, because I've been back
based
and forth on
ADP.
This.
You mean?
Well, I'll let you do whatever you want.
All the Broncos wide receivers, who in order as of right now in ADP is Jerry Jeudy, Courtland Sutton, Tim Patrick, and KJ Hamler. Jeudy and Sutton, the gap is narrowed. Mostly because of the legal trouble that Judy's kind of been in, but I'm more of a Sutton guy than a Jeudy guy. But you're going from Teddy Bridgewater and Drew Locke to Russell Wilson, and that's basically it. That is the biggest upgrade for any receiving core in the NFL. So that's pretty much it right there. I mean, they're all winners. They have Russell Wilson now,
yes,
as opposed to Teddy Bridgewater, who can't throw more than 30 yards downfield. And
you know, we've seen Sutton have the big season because he was able to do it a couple of years ago. We feel like Judy's the most talented out of the group, but it hasn't materialized on field and in box scores yet.
Yeah, zero touchdowns for Jeudy, I believe, last year.
And then Tim Patrick is just a wild card that isn't on the field as often, but has managed to be productive every time he's had to sub in for one of those guys when they're injured, which has been a lot. So there's going to be opportunity for all of those. And I think the fact that they're all relevant has pushed down all of their ADPs a little bit.
Sutton, like Saquon Barkley, will be 2 years removed from serious knee injury too. So I'm expecting a big bounce back from Sutton. But yeah, whether you're going a full Broncos stack or if you're just drafting Jeudy or a Sutton, I think Tim Patrick is like kind of that rare wide receiver handcuff you really want to have in the event that one of them is hurt or suspended in Jerry Judy's case. And KJ Hamler, really more of a best ball spike week flyer kind of guy, not a guy you want to decide to put in your starting lineup week in and week out, unless he's clearly going to have a full-time role, which he doesn't right now.
While we're talking Broncos, we had debated putting Albert O into this conversation of offseason winners, but ultimately decided not to, just because that rookie tight end, Greg Dulcich, that dude's a beast.
Yep.
And he may really materially eat into Albert O's production at some point. It may not be this year because, as we've talked about a million times, rookie tight ends generally don't fare well. And he's a third rounder, not a first rounder. like say a Kyle Pitts, but still, Albert O gets a certain amount of viability right now, currently going off the board at tight end 21. Yeah, it
doesn't seem like the volume is going to be there for Albert. I mean,
I worry a little bit.
Obviously a great running game too in Denver with Javonte Williams and Melvin Gordon.
Yeah.
One more year.
You know, one other thing I'll mention, there's a big notion out that Russell Wilson can't feed tight ends, but in reality, over most of the past 4, 5, 6 years, he's just had rotating tight ends and he disperses the ball among a lot of different tight ends or the way they used him in Seattle. But if you rolled up all of their tight ends together, his usage on tight ends is actually pretty NFL average.
Yeah. And also the AFC West, all of those divisional games are fireworks every one between the Raiders and the Chiefs and the Chargers and the Broncos.
They all feel like good games. Right
so that's six. Yeah. That's like almost six guaranteed shootouts for each AFC West team right there.
I you know, those are the rare divisional games you're going to love. Okay. So let's move on from the Broncos to another offseason wide receiver winner, CD Lamb. I think he's as big an offseason winner as there is out of this whole list. Mm-hmm. Currently wide receiver 8. I have him higher on my cheat sheet. He's going off the board in round 2. The offseason trade of Amari Cooper is, of course, huge, but so is the late season ACL suffered by Michael Gallup. His availability for the start of the season is very much in question. And then Cedric Wilson, who was good in relief last year, goes off to Miami. Mm-hmm. And all they did was bring in James Washington, who has done nothing but underperform in his time in Pittsburgh.
They did draft Jalen Tolbert, who he's a rookie.
He's a rookie.
He's a good project. He'll factor, but I'm with you. CeeDee Lamb not getting drafted as late as Cooper Kupp last year, but he feels like the guy that could take that meteoric leap that Kupp did last year. CeeDee Lamb.
The biggest threats for CeeDee Lamb for targets are his running back and tight end. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's such a key spot for him. And I'll mention this as well. Now, with Amari Cooper out, he's going to move outside. I really think they're going to play him largely outside, where he was a more effective and consistent fantasy producer than he has been when he's worked primarily from the slot. Next, offseason winner, Darnell Mooney. Wide receiver 29 in average draft position, round 6.
Yeah, he's going way too late for me, a guy I've been targeting in drafts since January. But last season, one of 16 wide receivers with more than 80 catches and 1,000 yards. He forced 27 missed tackles on reception since entering the league in 2020. That's tied for 7th among wide receivers in that span. And this year he'll be competing for wide receiver targets with Quinnemus St. Brown, Byron Pringle, Velus Jones Jr. Yeah. Probably one of the worst draft picks. Prove me wrong, Velus, but everyone's down on Velus. Dante Pettis, your old boy, Dante Pettis. You used to have a thing for Dante Pettis. And Tajay Sharp. So I will be.
Like, I did not know Dante Pettis.
I'm sorry. I couldn't help myself.
He was, what you don't always know is that a guy ain't that sharp. It's hard to know from the outside. And I think that's what's derailed Dante Pettis' career as much as anything else.
But I will be shocked if Mooney doesn't command at least 150 targets this season. And like CeeDee Lamb, his primary competition is probably going to be his tight end, Cole Kmet, and probably his running backs, too. It's not going to be the other wide receivers. Poor Justin Fields.
We'll talk about Justin Fields next week. And we're talking about losers because he's steadfastly in that group of offseason losers. Next winner, Rashad Bateman, Baltimore Ravens wide receiver, currently wide receiver 40 in ADP, going off the board in round 9. Now, it was a disappointing rookie season for Rashad Bateman, I think, no matter how you look at that season. He lost the first third of the season to injury. Then he came in and just didn't do very much with the opportunity. But the team loses Marquise Brown, traded Marquise Brown away. I think they had decided already. Brown didn't want to be there. We know that. He wanted to go elsewhere and maybe be teamed up with his college quarterback, Kyler Murray. So they trade him away, and maybe they had decided already they weren't going to pay him when Marquise Brown was going to want to get paid. But the next biggest target threat among wide receivers for Rashad Bateman is Devin Duvernay. Yeah,
this is a slot guy.
Whew. Bateman scored just once last year. And even when his snap count started to go up in December, and it never like went massively up, but when it went up and he was getting like 55, 60 snaps a game, the productivity still wasn't there. And, you know, Brian, I went back, I looked at a handful of plays from last year, trying to get more looks at him. And then I went to all the metrics like cushion yards and yards after catch and targeted air yards. I'm trying to find anything to counteract my eye test on Rashad Bateman that just, he looked so pedestrian and unlike how he looked as a Minnesota Golden Gopher when he was dominating defenses. Mm-hmm. But your best reason for optimism here, in four games in which he had eight or more targets last year, Rashad Bateman averaged 73 yards.
Yeah, he'll be more of a force in PPR, full PPR.
He will
for
be.
Sure.
That's exactly where I think he's going to help out.
And I think the one landmine that Bateman and Darnell Mooney need to avoid, it's the last big name receiver that is still a free agent, and it's not Julio Jones, and it's not Odell Beckham, because they're both pretty much decomposing corpses at this time, but is Will Fuller. And I think he's a great fit for the Bears or the Ravens, one or the other. So we'll see what happens with him. But as of right now, Will Fuller is not a Bear nor a Raven, so they're winners.
That dude stole $10 million last year from the Dolphins. Let's go to Michael Pittman. He's currently wide receiver 21. His average draft position is in the fourth round. The Indianapolis Colts receiver, why do you feel like he was an offseason winner?
Just six touchdowns last year, but he was top 15 in catches and yards among wide receivers. But it's basically, he got an upgraded quarterback with Matt Ryan, who I'm not a huge fan of, but it's still a massive improvement over Carson Wentz in my mind. And they did draft Alec Pierce in the second round out of Cincinnati. The Colts did, who I like, but I think Pierce's presence will only help Pittman. Will help Pittman more than hurt him, because defense is really focused on him in terms of the passing game. They have Jonathan Taylor, of course. The Colts offense ran through him, but Pittman's just a beast. 6'4", like 240. Just speaking of beasts, now with Mo Alie-Cox and Jelani Woods, they got some serious. And Alec Pierce is a pretty big guy too. I think he's 6'2", 6'3". Mm-hmm. Some serious size in that Colts offense. But yeah, Michael Pittman right now going. You said wide receiver 20. Yeah, I've seen him late teens. He's another guy who I think we could see creep into that top 12 range among wide receivers. So I just think, they didn't draft a big name. Alec Pierce is going to be a good player, but I don't think he steals enough shine from Pittman this year. So I think Pittman's going to be in for a big season.
Next up, Alan Lazard, Green Bay Packers wide receiver, offseason winner, wide receiver 50, going off the board in round 11. Green Bay could have reasonably used both of their first round picks on wide receivers. Mm-hmm. As it turns out, they didn't use any of them on wide receiver. And I think ultimately that helps. They did add, obviously, Christian Watson in the second round. And I think ultimately that's a win for Lazard, although I like Watson too. Because Lazard opens the year as the heir apparent to a lot of Davante Adams' absurd 169 targets last year. I mean, those 169 are going to have to go someplace. It's not all going to go to rookie receiver Christian Watson. Lazard's going to get a lot of it. Lazard is not a special talent. I think he is a fairly ordinary receiver talent, but he comes in as the number one incumbent veteran receiver for Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
That's worth a lot. Randall Cobb's the only other receiver with any kind of history with Aaron Rodgers. And just, I didn't, by virtue of being a veteran receiver, catching passes from Aaron Rodgers, Lazard is being drafted too late. Wide receiver 50 to me. He feels like a guy you could just put into your wide receiver 3 spot every week and just forget about it. And he'll pay off, you know, half of the time, 2/3 of the time.
Yeah.
Solid games.
40 catches, 500 yards, 8 touchdowns on 60 targets.
That's it.
Double.
So yeah, you double the 60 targets, right?
You're talking 1,000 yards and double digit touchdowns and close to 80, 90 catches.
Right. Wide receiver 50. You know,
way too late.
Yeah, agreed. Let's go over to the tight end position, Brian, and let's talk about the offseason winners there. We begin in Dallas with Dalton Schultz. We already talked about CeeDee Lamb. We talked about all the receiving options that are now gone. Dalton Schultz stands to benefit as well.
Yeah, we pretty much alluded to this already. You said he could Dalton Schultz, that is, could easily be the top option in the passing game after CeeDee Lamb, and I'm with you. And Schultz wasn't the second option last year. I would still call him third behind CeeDee Lamb and Amari Cooper, but he was one of three tight ends with at least 800 yards and 8 touchdowns. The other two were Travis Kelce and Mark Andrews.
That says a lot.
Yeah, he was also one of 6 tight ends to top 100 targets and finished 3rd in catches at the position as the third maybe even fourth option in the pass game, probably at least the third. And like we've said a couple times already, he might be the second Dak Prescott's second option in the pass game. So big time winner for Dalton Schultz. And Blake Jarwin, I don't know if he's even in the league anymore. He's gone.
No. He's on the team, and it's just the injuries.
He had I remember we talked about this when we were doing like divisional reviews. He had a hip injury where no football player had suffered it or
returned from it.
Mm-hmm. Only in like hockey is like an athlete come back from this kind of hip injury. So that sucks for Jarwin. And
which,
Dallas,
by the way, hockey players use their hips all the time. Yeah. Use it to skate. You get hip checked. You get, you know, there's all kinds of things. That's good. That's weird. That
hopefully Jarwin can skate.
Let's hope that's the case. You put this on my list, and I'm a little bit hesitant to even go here, but Travis Kelce is an offseason winner. I don't necessarily agree as much as you do on this, but I'll give it a.
It was slim pickings at tight end for the winners.
So he's 32 years old, which doesn't make him dead. But Kansas City did not acquire via draft or free agency or anything else any other tight end or any heir apparent to Travis Kelce. So presumably he'll have the same fairly massive role that he had before. Of course, you know, Tyreek Hill leaves. But for me, this is a push on Tyreek Hill leaving. Sure, he's not going to be siphoning off all the touches that Tyreek Hill had, and Sky Moore's not going to get all of those touches. But he also doesn't have Hill to open up the middle of the field like he used to. I mean, Tyreek Hill running out of the slot and dashing through the middle of the field was pulling linebackers and safeties away from Travis Kelce. And you lose that a little bit. So I really, in my heart, I believe there's more of just like a push off season for Travis Kelce, but I think some could see it as an upside.
Yeah, I just think Mahomes will lean on him a little more than usual. He certainly has leaned on him a lot already. But
now Kelsey's ADP is tight end one right now. One round ahead of Andrews. We talked earlier about how the Ravens have very few other places to go here. I think you can make a case that Andrews is more of an offseason winner than Kelce is with the dearth of receiving options there.
That's a fair point.
Who'd you take first, Kelce or Andrews?
Really, I know this isn't the answer you want, but it's neither. I'd wait a little longer on tight end and take my boy Kyle Pitts. But if I had
first?
To,
yeah,
I would still take Kelce first.
You'd take Kelce first? I'm on Andrews. And I love Kelce, and I've got him in a bajillion leagues. Last year, for the last several years, I've lobbied for people to take him in the first round.
The thing with Andrews, he had a great season, but he had like his monster games were all with Tyler Huntley.
Yeah,
I think, and not Lamar Andrews? Jackson. Yeah,
yeah, he did have
an absurd amount of targets based on his
Kelce
previous
had
season.
A 6-week lull last year that rattled me just a little bit. And it just started to plant the seed. Like, do I want to get out a year early on Andrews? Or sorry, on Kelce? Do I want to, do I want to be the guy? I'd rather get out a year early.
This could certainly be the year that the torch is passed from Kelce to Andrews.
It could be.
But no, Kyle Pitts is going to snatch that torch and run away with it.
It could be.
By the way, I listened to the show last week and I heard you and Matt have to take a jab at me and Kyle Pitts, and it wasn't appreciated. But I still like you guys, I guess.
Thank you. Cole Kmet, currently tight end 17. You believe he is an offseason winner?
Yeah, it kind of just goes back to the Darnell Mooney discussion we just had. Kmet probably going to be the second option in the passing game. Zero touchdowns last year, not a good thing. But Jimmy Graham had 3 touchdowns. He's gone. I would hope so. I've not confirmed that. I'm just assuming he is gone. But Kmet, 1 of 9 tight ends with at least 60 catches, 600 yards, and no threat came in at the wide receiver position. And it's going to be Kmet in the red zone, I would think. He's going to be the top option for Justin Fields. Not saying they're going to be in the red zone a whole lot in Chicago, but at tight end 15 right now, I think there is top 10 upside with Kmet if he can see the volume, and I think he will.
David Njoku from the Browns, currently tight end number 22 in average draft position. He got the offseason franchise tag, which I did not see coming at the beginning of the offseason, and it suggests that Njoku's spike in usage last year, probably not a fluke. They let Austin Hooper go in the offseason, and Harrison Bryant just didn't develop in year 2 last season.
No.
Still, plenty of turmoil among Cleveland's quarterback positions, which makes me a little bit worried about Njoku. And then Njoku's just been incredibly untrustworthy and unpredictable as a fantasy factor throughout his entire career. You're really banking on him becoming a lock number one, beating out Harrison Bryant, not being part of a rotation, and becoming a predictable fantasy producer, none of which has ever been the case throughout his career.
Yeah, Cleveland's got to give him that chance this year. They took him in the first round back in 2017.
Yeah.
And he's going to turn 26 this summer. He's still young.
Right, like, in his prime. Yes.
I mean, they should have done this a couple of years ago. They never should have even signed Austin Hooper, in my opinion. So, yeah, this is the time to give Njoku 100 targets at least.
Jeez, 100? Oh, I take it, but.
How about 80?
That would be a massive uptick for him, but we'd take that too. I think it's a little stretch, but I'd like to see him do it. They franchised him. So obviously they plan to use him. You don't franchise a guy that's not an integral part of your offensive scheme, at least in theory. Next week, losers.
The Who Sahara.
Big old losers. We'll talk that through next week. Thank you for making it to the end of the Fantasy Football Weekly podcast. Always appreciate the people that go from beginning to end on this. And we're excited to talk to you next week as well, everybody. Bye-bye.
Fantasy Football Weekly is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.